a single soul. Reaching a further and stepping in closer. CGN TV.
Hello, welcome to Living Life. What do you think about resurrection? Now, I know it's a word that is thrown around in Christian circles, but elsewhere it's kind of a strange word. Resurrection, you die at one moment and then you become alive again. I mean, that's kind of scary, right? And yet, that's at the crux of the gospel. That gospel proclaims that Jesus died for our sins and was crucified, right? And was buried. Well, that should be the end of the story, and yet he resurrected. It became a beginning, a beginning of a new story. And not only that, he's praying for us. He's up in heaven and in us and through us, helping us to live out like a little Jesus in everyday lives in this world. Well, so that's the gospel. Now, what do you think about resurrection? What I mean by that is, well, how does it matter to you today in everyday walk? Is it just a ticket to heaven? Now your sins, problem of sin and death is solved because of his resurrection, and that's it? Or does it matter in everyday walk of life? Like, does it matter to you this morning? Did it matter to you this morning? And will it matter to you in the evening? Will it matter to you at your work as you're staying home and doing your work? As you hang out with your friends, as you eat out with your family? I mean, does it matter, the resurrection? Let's talk about that after we read a short scripture together and really kind of open our hearts and meditate on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Let's listen to the word of God together.
First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men.
Apostle Paul begins in verse 12 by saying this. He asks a question. He says, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? I mean, he makes a big deal out of this one, right? I mean, how can you say such things? I mean, that's unfathomable. And he argues in two ways. He says in verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In other words, no resurrection, my ministry, gone. Your faith, nothing. Means nothing. Oh, that's a big deal, right? I mean, they're like only dying for their faith, and they're dying for their preaching. And so if resurrection doesn't happen, their lives don't matter, is what he's saying. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Well, what does it mean, your faith is futile? It just means that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, your faith has no power. It's got no influence on you or anything that you do. So your life will reflect nothing of Christ, nothing of resurrection, nothing of Christianity. Wow. Now, do you get it? It's kind of important. Resurrection matters. That Jesus actually resurrected. Why does it matter? Well, let's go back about 2,000 years past. Well, in those days, when first this message of the gospel of resurrection was heard on Roman ears, they were hearing, you know what, instead of Caesar, the one who we fear and who we worship with all our hearts, are you saying that this guy who resurrected, he has more power, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Well, that's kind of phenomenal, but that's what you're saying, right? And we Christians would say, yes, that's what we're saying. Even though we are powerless, even though we are nobody in your eyes, we believe that this Jesus Christ who resurrected, instead of Caesar, who owns the throne, who kills everybody on his path that gets in the way, the one who is hoarding all the power. Well, Christ, the one who kind of relinquished his power, right? He forgave those who persecuted him and killed him. That guy, Jesus Christ, he has all the power. So that's kind of an amazing political statement, actually, right? It'll get you killed, but they didn't care because they believed in it. So resurrection mattered. When resurrection was first heard by the Roman ears, it was really a political statement that said, God is on the side of the weak. God is the one who holds all the power, not Caesar. He's not the Lord. God is. And through Christ, his own beloved son, he proved it. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, it shows that God has no power, right? It shows that Christ, his work and life and everything that he's done is in vain. But what God did was that sacrificial, loving others, heart and life and death that Jesus displayed, God approved of it. God is saying through resurrection, you know what? He's right. He's my son. Yes, he didn't fight back. Yes, he didn't spit back. Yes, he didn't pull out the cross and killed everybody on the path. No, he's nothing like Caesar. No, he's not threatening you. But you know what? He's a humble, loving servant of God. He's my son, is what God is saying. And I approve of his life. I approve of his teaching. I approve his death and resurrection. So that's why he resurrected him. If Jesus was not resurrected, then everything that Jesus said could be lying. Lie, right? Because Jesus said, I'll be resurrected. I am the conqueror of death. And he did. So he's the one who he said he is, right? So that's why it's important. That's why it's important in our preaching. That's why it's important in our faith. That's why it's important in our carrying out our life in faith. Otherwise, it's all in futile. There's no good that comes out of it. So resurrection is that important. Vindicating Christ, who is the servant of God, who died on the cross for our sins. Ending cycle of violence, useless violence, you know. The Roman government was all about violence. The empire was sustained by violence and fear. And yet Christ is saying, that's not the way. That's not how humans should exist. Let's end the cycle of violence and revenge. Let's begin the cycle of love. And Jesus Christ, I love so many things about Jesus Christ, obviously, but one thing I love about him the most is that he gave one ammunition to fight for us, and that is love. No, he didn't give us spear, the best kind of boomerang. No, he didn't give us the M16. I mean, he didn't give us any of that, you know, the latest super machine to conquer everybody on the path. But Jesus Christ, he gave us the ammunition, weapon of love. And I hope and pray that Lord would empower us to end the cycle of violence and begin the cycle of love everywhere we go because of the cross and the resurrection. Now, the second thing that resurrection gives us is that because of forgiveness of sin and Christ paid on the cross for us, we will last forever. We are life everlasting. I mean, how good is that? You can live a life of cycle of love, and you can also exist and live in peace and love forever. That's a good deal, isn't it? So resurrection matters, and it's a really super good deal. Verse 19 ends this way. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. Well, don't worry, you and I are not going to be pitied because we have hope in Christ not only for this life, but life to come. This is only a short time, this side of heaven, but you know what? Heaven will exist forever. It'd be a perfection of time, as I would put it. It's not a dragging on, you know, boring kind of life, but it'll be a super, super sensual, spiritual, perfect. You know, one of those moments like, you know, perfect food? You know, it's going to be like that. So, or even better, actually. Unimaginable, unfathomable perfection is awaiting us. So let's live life with some modicum of hope, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's amazing to get to know you because the things you give to us through your love and resurrection is more than we can actually fathom or imagine. We don't deserve any of this. Life of hope and everlasting life. I mean, all of these things we cannot even fathom. And yet you give to us freely if we choose you. Father, we choose you this day to follow you, to worship you, to honor you. Help us to live such lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching a world that's stepping in closer.